Första kvällen vid passande meditationskurs. Madama talar. Den 13 augusti 1979.
Come back to us again. And also wish a welcome to the participants. And hope it will be a good course for you.
Thank you. Very considerate and very kind of you. Do all speak English?
Är det någon här som inte förstår engelska?
Not so well.
Nej, jag förstår inte så.
Well, tonight nothing important will happen with regard to the language. And if there is necessary to translation, we will have it. Björn, maybe he was saying here for sure. Sugata can also. Sugata? Yes. Couldn't you also translate a little if it's necessary tomorrow? And you also. So you do not need to worry. Well, I too am very glad to be here and thank you for your invitation and your trust and confidence, and I am very happy to share the time before us, the 10 days before us, in which we are going to share something which is actually very unusual for people when they meet. Usually we are sharing our experiences, talking about them, thinking about them, remembering them, projecting them, creating in our thoughts new ones. This is what we are not going to do. This is the usual way of meeting and being social or in communication with other people or meeting in a community like this. We are here actually going counter to that. We are sharing non-experience. That is to say, we are trying in this particular training, which we call Vipassana, to throw some light, some understanding upon our experiences. Not through talking, unfortunately for many, but by quiet and calm non-verbal observation. Did you understand? Did you? Who did not? By quiet looking to what is in our minds and what is in our bodies and what is in our feelings, which could also be the feeling with respect to the body and the feeling with respect to emotions. So these three aspects of ourselves, emotion, bodily feelings, mental states, that what we think and project, that is what we are going to look at in quietness and in a very accepting and open way, without any criticism or condemning yourself or any argument. To this is an attitude not necessary, which I would call courage. And honesty. For when we are going to do such work, such as looking into these three aspects of ourselves, it is like doing a journey. When you are traveling from place to place, you are meeting a lot of things, unknown as surprises. And so it is with this. It is with this type of practice or mental training. It's like a journey into your own self, and we are ourselves is a body, a mind, and emotions, mental, emotional, and bodily energies, and they express themselves constantly, but not knowingly. And to bring knowing and understanding and some kind of awakening into these three aspects of ourselves, that is the main or the principal work or task of this type of meditation. In that way, meditation is actually a very limited description. If we hold to the idea that we are doing a mental training, a journey into our existence, an understanding of my mental, emotional, and physical energies, forces. That would be a better, a good comprehension on in that way you would you can understand what we are going to do here. Old students are quite familiar. For those, it will be a repetition in the sense that it is a deepening. You see, this is not a practice or a training like in school, where we are coming to more knowledge or information. Here, or gathering something, what we don't have from other sources and experiences. Here we are just directing our mind force to this what sits here, the body that is sitting here. With this goes the emotional part and the mental part. So it, and in that you are beginning to understand how these three aspects are in close interaction all the time, expressing themselves in a rapid way, so rapidly that we don't, we have no notion of it, how it is happening, and that it is happening so fast gives us the feeling that we are very solid, and that we are something very important, and that we are an entity, something like a big personality. But when we are doing this for a long time, and when you are gaining some understanding of these three things in you, mental, emotional, bodily, forces in constant interaction, you will see that there is actually a flux of energy going on, something very lucid there, something very impermanent there, something very flowing there, not so tight and solid and frozen. But that's the way we act, and that is our not knowing. And this practice of vipassana is exactly doing this, gaining an understanding of this, what you are. One can also say that it is an understanding of the things as they are, really. Not as they appear, like Johann or like Pamela, but as they really are. So the nature of our forces, of our self, we are going to try to understand. If we understand maybe in all our 10 days of work a little peek into it, a needle point peek, that you should be very grateful, for this is a very difficult work and it requires tremendous dedication, tremendous patience and perseverance. Do you understand these three terms? Pardon?
Perseverance.
What did she say?
Perseverance.
Oh, patience. Patience. Continuing. Always again and again. You get discouraged. You lose your courage. You lose your energy. And you begin again. Constantly. Always. That is an attitude to renew yourself always for the new beginning in this practice, to understand yourself. Isn't that what you came for? Anybody who had anything else in mind? This is not a practice which has anything to offer, like mystical experience, some kind of goofing off, such as imagination, magical, or some psychic experiences, such as running over water or flying through air, or lifting yourself from the ground. This is a practice which is very down to earth. It's just so practical, like you would take your rake and rake the earth. It is real. Real means actually that you can experience it. That it is not in the world of our idea or imagination or wishful thinking. It is a practice which is dealing with this what sits, and that is a real thing, a reality. And because this reality has senses and an apparatus or some processes here which can take in and can experience the world and your own experiences with related in relationship to other human beings. So I mentioned that because the practice is that this journey into these three aspects of yourself in which you understand the emotional, the mental, and the physical, is a real experience. You are in this process, and you find even that you are the process. All what you are these aspects working always in interaction together. And we are training here a part of our mind, which we call observation, or observation, Pamela, another word.
Self-observation.
Yeah, I come to that. Observation, witnessing, actually, you see. You are constantly with this little part of your mind, which can observe other things outside of you, can observe the tree, can observe the bird flying, can observe the flame here, can observe me or you, your neighbor. That part of the mind, this ability, we are training now to look only to this what sits here, to this form with all its thinking and all its feeling. And in that, that's why it's called journey, because you are kind of journeying in this process, in this self, in this me. And there you are discovering things you have never paid any attention to. And in that, what you discover mostly are things in the beginning which we do not like, which we tried somehow to not look on, because most things were impulses and not very consciously lived. And man has lots of tendencies which are motivated by hate and by greed and by ignorance. And so many things motivated by these tendencies are very shaky, very unpleasant, and bring about a lot of suffering. And so by looking into this mind and body process, or mental, emotional, and bodily forces, we not only gain some understanding and gain some consciousness about how it is functioning there, but at the same time we are fulfilling the greatest purpose of this practice, which is what the Buddha said, to reduce our suffering, to reduce our pain, our grief, our suffering, all what is unpleasant and all what is unsatisfactory in our life. And the cessation of all that, that is the goal. And I think that is the goal for everybody, even for those who do not go on to a conscious practice like you enter now in these 10 days, for these 10 days. Every human being is striving toward the cessation or the reduction of their suffering. For life in itself is producing a lot of friction and disharmony. Sometimes you all know that with the best intentions, most things always go wrong. And so every human being has a striving toward this ending or reducing. And that is why you actually are here. If everything would have been all right with us, you wouldn't be here. If you think nothing is wrong in us, then you are in the wrong place. You see? This is what we are dealing in these 10 days with ourselves. Looking into this to gain an understanding of the condition we are living, what is with us. Looking at it first. And in that quiet self-observation, we will gradually, through lots of repeating this process and continuing, attain or gain some sort of mind, which we call awareness. And that is then, and that awareness is some insight, gained insight of this, what lives here. And can you, we don't need to have much imagination to feel this. When I have gained some insight, some understanding, some notion of how this mental, this physical, and this emotional aspect in me, all these forces are working, that it gives you gradually also a kind of certainty about yourself, a good feeling. It creates a confidence in you. It creates a restfulness in you. When you have contact with something, what you know, you are connected with something, in that connection you see what is there. It's close to you and it is familiar. Naturally you feel more safe. Why I feel so full of anxiety and full of fear and uncertainty is because I don't know. Haven't you often said, I don't know? I don't know what to do. I'm confused. We all know that. So to get out of this state of mind, to get into a more restfulness about myself, through insight, through direct experience, not through reading a book or hearing it from someone else. I'm not going to teach you any. I'm only here to share with you something and to in that interaction to help your mind directing itself to yourself. And in that you attain and you gain some knowledge, some wisdom, some restfulness, some harmony about yourself. And that creates naturally lots of harmony also around yourself, in relatedness to other human beings, in relatedness to your close relationships, in your family, in your near ones, in your far ones. So we are laying open in this work the forces which we can call, or some pure forces in us, some energies which make an end of all the confusion and suffering and provide a more harmonious, a more trustful, a more open, and a more wholesome life. And I think for that it is worthwhile to have come together to make this try and to venture into this endeavor. Now a few things are necessary for that. For the time being here, there is absolute necessary that we are conforming to a certain style of life which will prevent us from the gross expression which a human being is always ready to express itself in talking, maybe in being too loud, in being too forceful, in being ill-willed. It can go as far as taking drugs or speaking lies, taking lives. So in order to impress this upon our mind-body process, that it behaves in a certain way and does not express itself in this gross way, we are going to commit ourselves to 5 basic precepts which I like you to take as your protection rather than to take them as imposed rules or regulations. They should be your friends, and you are going to speak them to make it very impressive to the mind. Don't say it to me or to I. If you see this more as a mind-body process, then it gives you more courage also to give the demand to yourself for such a discipline. Also, we are going to have silence during this time. That will be very difficult because there is some parts, some of our friends here living on the farm who are not participating, isn't it so? Yeah. And they are engaging in daily work here which is demanding some communication, and so we will be disturbed and we will be by it, or we will feel very invited also to talk. So you have to make a very conscious effort here to keep silence in yourself. You see, we come here to look into this me and into mind, we said, and into emotions that are very subtle energies. And we cannot do that if the mind isn't quiet. We have to have some certain degree of concentration for that. And it is impossible to come too near to some type of concentration if we are spilling each thought out through verbalizing, through words. So you have to make a halt. Carry a stone the first day in your hand and make your demand through the stone. Hold it tight in your fist. No talk. Or take a glass of water and don't swallow it. That helps. So then also, according to the elders of this practice, since we are this practice, this type of meditation or mental training is the direct teachings of the Buddha, which is a human being who lived 2,500 years ago, who has come to that type of mind which was free, totally freed of any suffering and pain. And so we are the practice, and after this attainment of the free of this freedom, he gave us the teachings, the Buddha's teachings, and the essence of it is actually this type of practice. Practice of observing yourself constantly, putting that what you are always under the conscious experience of that what we call observing mind. So we are taking then what we call the threefold refuge, which is an act of faith. You are speaking the refuge, that you're taking refuge into the Buddha, into his teaching, and into the Sangha, which means all those who have gone that way, who are endeavoring the same in the same effort of looking into yourself. Originally it applied to just those who were exclusively dedicating time for that, which means all the monks in monasteries. Now it is in a more broader sense to be understood, since we don't also have monasteries. All those, the Sangha are, who are dedicating themselves for walking such a path and such and working on such a training which is revealing something about this mind-body process. Taking refuge in the Buddha means actually in a wider sense, not into the historical Buddha, but into the qualities of the Buddha, such as wisdom, right effort, compassion, love. So when I speak, I take refuge in the Buddha. I'm identifying or thinking of the qualities of the mind which has come to free itself from all pain and suffering of this existence, has come to clarity and understanding where there is no disharmony anymore, where there is just a free flow of all the energies which you are, and you experience that, where there's total trust and total security of yourself and all harmony. And taking refuge into the Dharma means taking refuge into some laws, cosmic laws, which are which you come to understand and to learn when you are practicing this teachings of the Buddha. Laws such as that all things are impermanent, are subject to constant change, to decay, to getting born and falling out of existence. And that you yourself, your body and mind, is subject to this universal law too. also it would imply taking the refuge that you for yourself are clear of this practice you are going to enter, that it is your own will, your own desire, coming from your own intuition, from your own longing to become free, to have some more knowledge and understanding of what you call me. The practice itself is very simple. This, what we say, looking into this mind, force or mind-body process, is the observing of as a first phase of the practice. Is we direct the mind to the function, to the most basic function of this living organism, which is breathing. Becoming aware of that in-breath and out-breath. Breath is a very important function of our existence. It is a bridge between the mind and the body. Have you ever thought that when you are breathing in, that it could happen that you would not anymore breathe out? Have you ever thought that we only can live, not longer live without a breath than 3 minutes? So very basic, you can live a whole day or 30 days without food, upon which we put so much importance. But the breath, we can only stand its absence for 3 moments, 3 minutes. And how much do we know of this? So gaining an awareness, or through observing, a kind of a feeling of this process of myself, it brings me as a first thing, without any higher goal, brings me very close to this what sits. Very. How closer can you come to yourself than to your breath? And in that there will reveal itself quite a lot. Then whilst you are sitting and breathing, you feel your body, but you also will meet something more. You meet also what you feel in your emotions. You also will meet what you feel in your mental activities. You will learn quite a lot about yourself just in this little activity, seeming an unimportant thing, or not very big thing, not great mystical, not no magic. But the magic comes by experiencing yourself so very, very close. So then I would like you, any questions before we go further to you? Any question right now? No? Everything clear? Good. About the program, how we are going to go through the day, I talk tomorrow about it. We will make a program, Pamela. And it will be just a rough schedule. Within that schedule, it will change a little. For usually we are sharing this work, this practice, according to what is necessary, according how our conditions are, so I can't pinpoint it too exactly. A few rules, perhaps. One thing I would like you to observe very, very strictly is not to leave the place and go in town or so. Just stay here. If you intend to leave earlier the course, please come first to me and announce to the... Who is the organizer here? No one? No?
Björn?
Yeah, to Björn. You go to Björn. But also, don't miss and come and say goodbye to me. So that I know who is going. It's also for you to make it conscious that you are now leaving a practice of quite unusual character. Something very noble about this world, to look into yourself. And it's such work, what is higher than you? What do you appreciate more? What do you evaluate more? Isn't it this self? This living organism which is with us all the time? And this type of work we are doing, is of quite noble character, for it is that activity which leads us to the knowledge about myself, which we unfortunately so very little pay attention to. For we have some forces in us which work very much against it, unwholesome energy in us, which makes us always destroy our good intentions in the direction. Old students cannot confirm what I say, they can sing long songs about that. So I like you to keep this in mind, that you are undertaking a training of a noble work we are doing, and this requires a certain respect. So move quietly, move consciously, that you are in this process of exploring yourself, inquiring about yourself. Keep to your silence. Respect especially this room. Sit in a way which is always somehow reminding you that you are engaged in such work. Don't lounge around. We are going to have many things, all our doings, put into this service, including our eating. At lunchtime especially, I'm going to eat with you. So the eating will also be practice of observation. How I'm eating. Eating is also a very important function of the body. Also has to be observed. How am I working? We are going to have an hour or three quarters of an hour work for this site as our gratitude, for sheltering us so wonderfully isolated, surrounded by such a beautiful calmness and natural beauty. So I like you to keep to this, remember that you are engaged in something noble, and that you have to express a certain respect to that. It helps you also, keeping you in your effort for this practice. situations to which we have perhaps make a conscious effort to bring it into this frame which is securing this type of work. We call it sila, actually. S-I-L-A, sila, which is a basis in our for calming the bodily functions, calming the bodily expressions, calming also our verbal expressions. And that secures some basis for our mental work and for our training of concentration and observing quality, the ability of the mind which can constantly look at myself. How am I breathing? Breathing out and breathing in. And you have to be quiet to be able to pick this up, this fine mechanism of breathing. And that you also pick up what you feel emotionally. You have to be very quiet. It's a listening into yourself. So sila, the moral conduct, helps us to stand on a safer ground. See, like a house stands on a fundament, on a base. And if that isn't strong, the house falls apart. If our sila isn't strong and good and accurate and really manifested, we will never make any progress in the mental discipline. All our efforts will be just subject to frustration and no success. And then we never can come to any insight, to any understanding, to any wisdom. All these three go together. So, that's enough for today with regard to what we are going to do. We are going to take now the three refuges and the five precepts, and I'm going to give you the first instructions for mindfulness or observing the breathing, or it's called anapanasati. But before we do that, I'd like you to stand up and to take a little rest from your foldedness of legs. Hmm? Aren't you all feeling tired already? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, now stand up in a way where you know that you're standing. Hmm? Think now, what tells you that you are standing? Naturally, our minds go to the feet. Please do that. Close your eyes and allow the mind to envision the feet and the feeling it has in contact with the hardness of the floor. And see how you can be open for receiving more and more weight from the head, from the shoulders, from your hips, down to the feet.
see that your lips are very gently holding each other and touching each other. I begin to feel that and to have cognition of it or knowing. That you are breathing and standing. See how the weight continues perhaps going down to your knees, to your hips, knees, ankles. Let your shoulders move down. You always perch up. Now gently find your seat. Very gently sit down in a way where we are going. Where you feel this is a good position with an upright back. Close your eyes.